Title: Chord Pacing at 170 BPM Masterclass Using Arrangement View Advanced. Alright, let's do an advanced drum and bass harmony session at 170 BPM, focused on one thing: chord pacing and arrangement view. Because at 170, chords can ruin a drop in two opposite ways. 1. You change too often and the track feels nervous and weightless. Or 2. You loop one chord for 64 bars, and it feels like the harmony never breathes. The goal is pacing, when harmony is fully present, when it's only implied, and when you remove it completely so the drums and bass feel even bigger. By the end, you'll have a tight 32-bar drop where the chord progression is actually simple, but the perceived movement feels pro. We'll use two chord layers: a main chord bed that's wide and controlled, and a stab layer that acts like punctuation. And we'll do it in arrangement view, because this is arrangement first thinking. You're placing harmony against drum phrases and bass movement, not just looping MIDI and hoping it works. First, set the tempo to 170 BPM. Go into arrangement view, and set your loop brace to a clean 32-bar region. A nice hat-it is bars 33 to 65 for the drop, but any 32-bar block works. Now make your tracks. Create a MIDI track called Chord BED, another MIDI track called Chord Stabs, a MIDI track for sub or bass, even if you've already got something going, a drums track or drum group, and then create three returns. Return A is a short reverb, return B is a long reverb for throws, and return C is a delay throw. Quick coaching note: doing this now saves you later. Chord pacing isn't just the notes, it's also space, width, filtering, and the way those changes line up with your 8-bar and 16-bar energy. Before we write anything, I want you to do a phrase alignment trick that makes arrangement view feel like a map. Drop locators at bars 1, 9, 17, and 25. Those are your 8-bar blocks. Then add microlocators at 5, 13, 21, and 29, the midpoints. And now decide, even before notes, where is harmony fully present? Where is it implied, like stabs only or a heavily filtered bid? And where is it absent, intentional negative space? That decision alone will make your 32 bars feel like a journey. Now let's choose a DNB-friendly harmonic framework. At 170, the winning move is simple chords, efficient voicings, and rhythm that respects the drums. Let's use F minor. It's classic, it sits great with subs, and it's easy to keep dark without getting cheesy. Here's a four-chord palette you can use: F minor at 9, D flat major 7, E flat at 9, and then C7 suspended 4 resolving to C7 as your tension and release. The important part: don't voice these like a cinematic pad with huge low notes. Keep most of the chord tones in a compact range, and let processing create width. The bass gets the low end, your chords live above it. On chord bid, load wave-eatable or analog. Set polyphony to 6 to 8 voices. If you use unison, keep it tight. 2 voices max. We're not making a supersaw anthem. We're making a rolling harmonic carpet. Set up a starter patch, a sine or triangle-ish main oscillator, then a little saw on a second oscillator, like 10 to 20%, just to give harmonics. Low pass filter, 24 dB slope, cut off somewhere around 1.2 to 2.5k, and a touch of drive. For the amp envelope, use a slightly soft attack, 5 to 15 milliseconds, medium decay, sustain around half, and a release in the 300 to 600 millisecond range. Now voicing. This part is critical at 170 because bass is doing a lot of work, and masking is your enemy. Write the progression first as long holds, whole notes or half notes. Ignore rhythm. This is you choosing the harmonic area. Keep the lowest chord note above roughly G2 to C3 depending on your bass line. If you don't know where your bass lives, assume your chords are too low and move them up. Seriously, DNB chords feel heavier when they're not clogging the sub range. Try to keep one common tone between chords when you can. That's a rolling trick. The listener feels continuity even when the chord changes. Now build the chord BED processing chain with stock devices. First, EQ8. High pass it hard. Try a 24 dB per octave filter somewhere between 150 and 250 Hz. If the bed gets muddy, dip a couple dB around 250 to 400. Then utility. Turn on bass mono and set it around 150 Hz. Even though you high passed, it's still good discipline. Then set width somewhere like 110 to 140%, but check mono later. If it disappears in mono, pull that width back. Add chorus ensemble subtly, 10 to 25% amount, slow rate. This is movement, not wobble. Then glue compressor with a gentle touch. 10 millisecond attack, auto release. 2-to-1 ratio, just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. The goal is stable and controlled. You're building a harmonic carpet, not a lead. Now the core concept. Pacing grids at 170. At this tempo, listeners lock onto 2-bar drum sentences, 4-bar phrases, and 8 or 16-bar sections. So we pace chords in layers. Macro level, 8 to 16 bars, which chord family dominates and how present is the harmony overall. Meso level, 2 to 4 bars, how often do the chord changes happen? Micro level, half bar to a bar, where do the stabs hit? Where do we gate? Where do we mute? Let's build a 32-bar drop plan. Bars 1 to 8. Establish. Minimal but intentional. On chord bed, draw one MIDI clip covering bars 1 through 8. Hold FM at 9 for the first 4 bars. Then go to DB Maj 7 for the next 4. No fancy rhythm yet, just long holds. Now automate energy. Add auto filter after EQ on the bed. Low pass mode. Start cutoff around 800 Hz at bar 1, and slowly rise to around 1.8 kHz by bar 8. Notice what we did. We created progression without changing chords constantly. That's pacing. That's harmonic bandwidth. Coach note. Think harmonic bandwidth, not just chord names. Early on, you want mostly mid-range body, like 300 Hz up to maybe 1.2 k. Later, you let more upper harmonics speak. Peak sections get tiny bursts of air, but usually on stabs, not on the bed. For stabs in bars 1 to 8, either none or one hit every 2 bars. Keep it sparse. You're letting the drums and bass establish dominance. And here's a rule you need in your bones. The snare owns the bar. If your stab hits on 2 or 4 and competes with the snare crack, your whole drop will feel smaller. So we place stabs around the snare, late hits, pickups into the snare, or tails after the snare. Bars 9 to 16. Answer. Introduce movement. Duplicate your bed clip into bars 9 to 16. Now change chords every 2 bars. FM for 2, dB for 2, EB for 2, and C7 sus 4 resolving to C7 across the last 2 bars. Now create chord stabs. Make a 1-bar clip and loop it across 9 to 16. Put stab hits on the end of 2 and on beat 4, or experiment with late jungle-style stabs that feel slightly behind the grid. Humanize with velocity. Make the first hit around 85, the second around 105, and randomize lightly so it doesn't sound like a typewriter. For the stab sound, load operator. Go for a bright sawish tone or mild FM bite. Then the stab chain, saturator with soft clip-on. Drive 2 to 6 dB. EQ 8, high pass around 200 to 350 Hz, and a presence bump around 2 to 4 kHz. Optionally amp, very subtle, just edge, and reverb. You can use hybrid reverb as an insert for character, but I recommend doing most space on sends so you can throw specific hits. Bar 17 to 24. Escalate. More density, still controlled. Keep the bed changing every 2 bars like before. But now we add micro variation without adding new chords. Do a gated ghost moment at the end of bar 20 and bar 24. Take your current chord, duplicate a note or the whole chord, shorten it to an eighth note, and place it as a pickup into the next chord. It's like harmonic percussion. Quiet, quick, forward motion. Now add reverb throws as events. This is huge for arrangement. On the last stab of bar 16, automate the send to return B, the long reverb, way up just for that hit. Then bring it back down immediately after. Do the same on the last stab of bar 24. Set up return B. Hybrid reverb with a big size. Decay 3 to 6 seconds. High pass inside the reverb to around 300 Hz so it doesn't cloud the low mids. Then EQ 8 to tame harshness, often somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5 k if it gets spitty. Advanced upgrade. Put a compressor after the reverb, sidechained from the snare, not the kick. Fast attack. Medium release. Now the tail ducks exactly when the snare hits, so the snare stays king but you still get huge space. Bars 25 to 32, peak. Maximum harmonic info with tight pacing. Here's where people mess up. They either overchord and the drop loses weight, or they underdeliver and it feels like nothing happened. We'll do a controlled peak. Keep the bed mostly on 2-bar changes, but add one mid-phrase surprise. For example, borrow GB Maj 7 for 1 bar as a dark lift. Then go back. Keep it brief so it reads as tension, not a new song. Make stabs more consistent rhythmically, but filter them darker so it doesn't go halsey. If you need more cut without brightness, add transient shaping instead of EQ. Try this. On chord stabs, insert drum bus before saturator. Dry flow, like 2 to 5. Transient up a bit, maybe plus 5 to plus 15, boom off. Then saturator after it. That gives punch on small speakers without making the stab painfully bright. Now the key pacing move, the dropout, at bar 29. Remove the chord BED entirely. Mute the clip, or automate utility gain down. Let drums and bass dominate for that bar. That negative space is an arrival. Its arrangement resolution, and in DNB, that often hits harder than a traditional chord cadence. Then bring the bed back at bar 30 with a small filter automation bump, a little more open than before. That's your reload feeling without stopping the track. Now we need the chords to groove with the drums, even when they're sustained. Add sidechain compression on the chord BED. Use Ableton's compressor. Sidechain input from the kick or drum bus. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 2 to 10 ms. Release 80 to 160 ms and time it so it breathes with the beat. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. You want a pulse, not a pump that screams EDM. Swing. Apply it to stabs, not the bed. Use the groove pool and pick a subtle MPC-style swing, like 8 to 15%. Too much swing will blur the snare placement and weaken the drop. Again. Snare owns the bar. Now let's talk about the power move, chord presence automation. Instead of adding more notes, automate presence. This is how you make 32 bars feel like evolution without changing chords every bar. Automate auto filter cutoff on the bed as your main energy control. Automate the short reverb send on return of for glue. Automate utility width slightly up during peaks, and slightly down when drums get busiest. And don't start ultra wide in bar 1. Save width as a reward. Automate saturator drive, like plus 1 or 2 dB in later phrases, so intensity increases without extra chord density. Extra discipline tip, only let one lane make a big move per 4 bars. If filter, width, saturation, and reverb are all evolving constantly, nothing feels like an event. Control change reads as intentional. Masking control, advanced but practical. If your bass speaks strongly around 200 to 500 Hz, the chord bed can blur it. With stock-only tools, one approach is simply to automate a tiny EQ dip on the chord bed during bars where the bass does fills. Don't reach for fix with EQ first as a reflex, though. Often the best fix is reducing chord activity for that half bar. Bass first harmony edits win in DNB. Now let's quickly hit common mistakes so you can catch them early. If you change chords every bar at 170, it feels restless and reduces weight. Start with 2-bar or 4-bar holds. If chords reach into the sub-range, you get mud and weak bass. High pass aggressively and voice higher. If you go too wide too early, you kill impact. Keep early sections tighter and earn width later. If stabs are too bright or too loud, it starts leaning into bassline house energy. Darken them, tuck them behind the snare, and let the drums lead. This audio version is shortened for playback.